Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Memorial Day, a national holiday across America. As the warmer weather moves in, it's time to drag out the old barbecue cooker, ice down the drinks, and get the hot dogs and hamburgers, the chips and salsa going. After all, this is America, the land of the free. We have no need to worry. Everything is as it always has been and always will be. So let the celebration begin. But in the midst of family and friends, food and drink, is there something missing on this annual occasion? Isn't there a deeper meaning than all the fun and festivities? Yes, of course. Memorial Day is intended to be a day of remembrance for those who have protected our lives, our liberty, and our freedom to celebrate through the years. It is those who have fallen in battle in our nation's service that we gather to honor on this fourth Monday of May every year. Those who have given their all to sustain our country and our way of life. But yes, too consistently, Americans have forgotten the meaning of Memorial Day. But for countless American families, the cost of our freedom and liberty has come at a very high price. From the wars of the early colonies to the American Revolution, from the War of 1812 to the World Wars, Korea, Vietnam, and most recently the battles in Iraq and Afghanistan. Parents have lost sons and daughters. Brothers and sisters have lost siblings. Children have lost their dads and moms. Brave and dedicated men and women have sacrificed their lives. Let us today, on this national holiday, be reminded of the real meaning of Memorial Day, to honor the memory of those who have fallen in battle, to remember the families who have suffered the loss of loved ones in the cause of freedom around the world, being ever conscious, too, of the many men and women in our armed forces who are in harm's way at this very moment as they seek to protect our homeland, as countless others have done before them. Today, we pause to honor those who have paid the ultimate price in service to our great country and the preservation of our way of life. May God bless their families, and may God bless America as we remember the one who laid down his life so that we, you and I, could live eternally. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Thanks, Bob. This is a very special day as we do remember those who have died in service. They've made the ultimate sacrifice, and you know we know what the Bible has to say about this. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command. And that's what Jesus said to his disciples, and we know he made the ultimate sacrifice for us. And that sacrifice we see in the lives of these military men who have laid down their lives for us. So today we salute and bring back to memory those special folks. And I know our listeners today, probably most everyone out there, has a family member or knows someone that made that ultimate sacrifice. So we wanted to take a few moments here at the beginning of this broadcast and to remember. And I think it's a good thing for all of us to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Also, as I think about Memorial Day, I do think about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And, you know, within the church, we have two sacraments that we adhere to, that we are engage in. It's the sacrament of baptism and the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The sacrament of baptism is a celebration. It's a celebration of this new life that we have in Christ. As somebody who has received Jesus, they've been baptized into his death, into his burial and into his resurrection, and that's celebrated through water baptism. As somebody goes down into the water, it's representing that new life that they've been given in Christ. You know, the gospel is the death, the burial, and resurrection, and it's interesting, the lead story is death, isn't it?
Yes.
That's chapter one. Without death, there is no resurrection. And we celebrate that whole gospel story being lived out in a person as they have come to life in Jesus Christ. We've had baptisms in some of the services that we've done here in the Dallas area. And it's a very, very moving thing. When we've been to Israel, we've done some baptisms there as well. It's a very moving thing to see a person testify about the new life that they have in Christ Jesus, and all those around to be really engaged in it and to celebrate. I remember I baptized my youngest daughter, Mackenzie, and it was just one of those cool moments in life. And as she came up out of the water, just everybody in the crowd started clapping and just big smiles on the faces. It was just a glorious time of celebration. So we have baptism, but we also have the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper is another time of celebration. It's a celebration of this new covenant that we live in today, that the fact that God remembers our sins no more. But the Apostle Paul put it this way: "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus said those words. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So every time that we participate as a body of believers in the Lord's Supper, we are remembering the death of Christ and what the death of Christ accomplished for each and every one of us. And I think that is a powerful, powerful sacrament. You know, that sounds kind of religious to say the word sacrament, but such a joyous occasion to remember all that Christ's death has accomplished for us. The fact that his death took away our sins once and for all, and that because of that, God chooses to remember our sins no more. Talk about a declaration of freedom. That is a declaration of freedom. Yeah. When Jesus says, "Son, daughter, your sins are forgiven," he is inserting a key into that lock and chain and setting us free from the law of sin and death. That's why we remember the death of Christ. And then as we read in the book of Hebrews, for example, in chapter 10, we see that through the sacrifice of the body of Christ, we have been made holy. Why do we remember the death of Jesus? Because through that sacrifice, we have been made holy. We have been set apart for God's use. Without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that would not be even in the realm of possibility. But because Jesus shed his blood, we have been set apart or made holy. That is just such amazing, amazing new. So we want you today, as you remember those who gave their lives sacrificially, to think about the death of Christ and how the death of Christ has made you holy in God's sight. And that changes everything, doesn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it does. And there's something about this Memorial Day, and when people think about those who have given everything, or who have nearly given everything and come home without arms or legs, yeah, or something like that. We're always worried about doing honor to their memory, that somehow that sacrifice may have been wasted. Well, I can guarantee you, quite apart from politics and economics and everything else, the sacrifice of Jesus cannot be wasted.
Right.
He actually did something that only he could do. No one can take it away from him, and no one can take it away from us because he's given it to us. Yeah. That's important.
Great.
You got to keep that in mind.
Yes, indeed. And I know all of us long for some sense of purpose.
Yeah.
You know, those who have died in the military, they did so carrying out a sense of purpose, to defend our country, to defend our freedoms. That is a noble cause, an incredibly noble cause. That's why we honor them the way,
yes,
that we do. But what about those who, you know, don't serve in military? What kind of purpose can we have in life? And we're all looking for a sense of purpose. And to be used by God, there's no greater purpose than that. And that's what it means to be set apart, to be made holy, that we've been set apart for God's use. Can you imagine, you know, the president asking to use your home or to use you? You would think that would be the greatest thing ever. You know, the president was in my house. Well, Jesus Christ made it possible for God to come and live in us.
Yes.
And to use us for his purposes. And I can think of nothing more worthwhile than to make ourselves available as a living sacrifice so that God can use us for his purposes. We see that in the book of Philippians. Paul wrote this, that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, because it is God who is at work in us to do and to will of his good purposes. That's what this new covenant is all about. That's what this new life that we have in Christ is all about. That's what it means to be set apart, is the fact that we can be used for God's purposes here and now. And I encourage you to make yourselves available to him. The other thing about the death of Christ is this, because by one sacrifice, this is Hebrews 10:14, he has made us perfect forever, those who have been made holy. So we have been set apart. We've also been made perfect in the sight of God. All of this is a result of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the fact that he shed his blood once and for all. So we have been made perfect. Now, that doesn't mean that we are flawless. That's not what this word is all about. It's the fact that God has delivered us to his stated end. Yes. For us. So God created man to be fully alive and to experience relationship and fellowship with God the Father. That was broken through sin.
Yes.
When Satan entered the garden and he tempted Eve and he made that tree of the knowledge of good and evil look good to the eyes and desirable and all of those things, and Eve ate of it and then encouraged Adam to eat of it, sin entered into the world, and it put us into a fallen state. We, as people, had missed the mark. God's mark for us was being fully alive in real relationship with him, experiencing his love, his grace, his mercy. That's how God created us. But he restores us to that purpose, to that end, through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when it says that we have been made perfect, it means that we have been delivered to that end. Now we can experience what God had in mind for us all along. Boy, talk about exciting news, that I can actually flourish.
Yes.
As a human being, be what God made me to be. That's what we all long for, isn't it?
Absolutely. Friends, you found a special edition, a Memorial Day edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. My name is Bob Davis. The phone lines are not open today so that we can bring you this special edition, and we hope that's edifying to you as we celebrate and honor those who have fallen in battle in defense of our country.
Yes, indeed. So we remember those who have fallen in battle in defense of this country. We also today remember the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I think it's fair to say let's remember the apostles. Peter and James and John all were martyred because of their proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ. There's a story in the book of Acts where they were arrested simply for saying that Jesus Christ had been raised from the dead.
Yeah.
And the official said, if you'll just stop saying that, we'll let you go free. And they're like, we can't. And we can't because it's true.
Yes.
Jesus was crucified, dead and buried, and on the third day he was raised from the dead. We can't stop saying that. Why? Because it's the very foundation of new life for all of us. So they were ready to be arrested, and they were arrested. They were ready to die for that, and they did die for that. And they died brutal, gruesome deaths. Peter, you know, crucified upside down. It said that Paul was beheaded because of his belief in the resurrection. And think of all the martyrs through the thousands of years. And think about what's happening today around the world, in the Middle East, in places like Syria and that, where Christians are being beheaded almost daily. And why? Because they will not deny their faith. They will not say that Jesus has not been raised from the dead. They will not say that Jesus is not God. They will not say that Jesus did not forgive their sins. They stand on that foundation. They're willing to die for it. Those stories are incredibly touching and inspiring to think. And it also makes you wonder, what would I do in that situation? What would we do? Yeah. Well, here's the truth. God's grace will be sufficient. If any one of us ever find ourselves in that type of situation, we will find that God's grace is sufficient for us at that moment.
And how do you get ready for that? By walking every moment of today with that realization that God's grace is sufficient.
Yeah, so we certainly pray, and our hearts are deeply moved by these sacrifices that are happening, you know, daily around the world.
Yes.
People dying because of their faith in Jesus Christ, being persecuted because of their faith in Jesus Christ. This is the only message really worth dying for. Mm-hmm. It really is. I think of Bart Millard, the lead singer of Mercy Me. He said he came to Christ, and he started singing, and they started Mercy Me and doing all this, and people would ask questions, and it's like I had these pat answers, but it wasn't real for me. And he said, this isn't something I would die for. This isn't something I would die for, until he discovered the original message, until he discovered the original good news, as John Lynch, our good friend, would calls it, that Christ died to take away all of his sins, was raised so that Christ could come and live in him. And he said, that's a message worth dying for. That's what this gospel is all about. Why? Because it's life.
Absolutely.
It is life everlasting.
Well, again, friends, it's a Memorial Day edition of Basic Gospel, honoring those who have sacrificed their lives in military service for this most blessed land that the world knows as America, and to the families who have suffered the loss of loved ones. We hope you're hearing the message that not only have they given their lives to protect us in the here and now, but also in gratitude and thanks to the one who has given his life to save us from eternal death.
It's as stark as that.
Yeah, it really is as stark as that. The gospel message really is a life and death issue. We're dead spiritually. That was our problem. That is the problem. Death. The wages of sin is death. When Adam and Eve sinned, God told them, the day that you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. Yep. They didn't die physically that day. They lived hundreds of years after that event, but they did die spiritually. They forfeited their spiritual life, and they brought death to all of mankind. That was our condition apart from Christ. We experience that in so many different ways. Some sense a feeling of emptiness inside. Some sense a unexplainable restlessness. Others just know that something's wrong. Well, what is that? It's called spiritual death, and there's only one solution, and that's spiritual life. Well, Christ died. He stepped into our death so that we could step into his life. And that's what this good news story is all about. When we receive him, when we believe in him, we go from death to life. It's called the crossover, as John would say in his gospel. We cross over from death to life. It's an amazing It's an amazing message, all made possible because of Jesus. Apart from him, we're still dead, right?
Absolutely. And I remember back in the early days of my life as an adult, and I started to think for myself. And I really believed that what I was trying to do was figure out a way not to die. I didn't really know about being alive. I just didn't want to die. And when you spend all your time trying to think about how not to die, what you're missing is the point, is you're dead.
Yeah.
You know, I thought I could walk this very narrow fence and not die. And when finally somebody convinced me, showed me out of the Bible that I was already dead, it changed the whole question. And because the question changed, the answer got to change. Now I was being asked, would you like to be alive? And, you know, what a positive motivation. I mean, so many people think that, you know, well, you can't be negative with these people because, you know, you'll chase them away. They know something's wrong. And when you admit that something's wrong, then you have the chance of having a positive answer. Do you want to get right? Do you want to get well? Do you want to come alive? I can show you the person. I can introduce you to this person. That's exciting. That's motivating. And so, well, the reason we talk like this, the only reason we talk like this, is because we have experienced this. We have each discovered at various points in our lives that we really were dead and we needed to be alive, and we met Jesus Christ. And that's why his death is never wasted, because he continues to talk to people. Even people who haven't accepted him, he's still bringing them to himself, saying, you know, I've got an answer. I've got an answer. And we're blessed to be able to provide that answer. He does it in other ways too. But this chance of coming alive is the crux of every question that humanity faces. Whatever the circumstance you're in, good, bad, or otherwise, death to life is the issue.
Yes, indeed. And let's just think about one more aspect of Christ's death, and that's what we are asking you to remember today on this Memorial Day, encouraging you to be grateful for those who have died in military service to defend this country, to defend our freedoms, to defend our American way of life, but also to think about the death of Jesus Christ and what his death accomplished for us. The fact that his death made us holy, set us apart for God's use. His death made us perfect in the sight of God. His death also has become a demonstration and is a demonstration of God's love for us. Greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. We mentioned that earlier, but in the book of Colossians, Paul wrote this: once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Sin, our evil behavior, our rebellion toward God, forces us to see God as an enemy.
Yes.
That's how we perceive him, but that's not true. That's not the truth of the gospel. And in the cross of Jesus Christ, we see truth. And that truth is that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That in and of itself is a demonstration of God's great love for each and every one of us. And Paul goes on to say in Colossians, but now, once we were alienated and enemies of God in our minds because of our evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death.
Yes.
Christ's death draws us near to God. It reconciles us to God, and it presents us holy in his sight. We've already talked about that, without blemish, and free from accusation.
There you go.
Man, is that ever good news? When Paul wrote to the Romans, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The only reason he could write that is because of the death of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Is it worth remembering? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It is the demonstration of God's love for you. you plant yourself right there, you will grow in that love for the rest of your life.
Have a blessed Memorial Day, everybody. We'll see you again tomorrow for Basic Gospel.